We'll have a cook-off.
Rolling, bruh.
Fratelloni's Hardware and Garden Stores brings you Garage Logic Podcast number 1245. It's Valentine's Day, February 14, 2024.
Happy Valentine's Day.
It's also Ash Wednesday. The record high on this day around these parts was 50 degrees in 1882, and it was 25 below on Valentine's Day in 1875.
Hail the flashlight, King!
Hail you!
And now, from the mayor's office above the boathouse on the east shore of Spoon Lake, it's Garage Logic with Chris Reavers manning Technology Corner, Kenny Olson from the Krabby Coffee Shop, John Hite in the newsroom, and of course, the rookie. Here is your flashlight king, fireworks commissioner, and the keeper of common sense, your mayor, Joe Soucheray.
We had a contumely yesterday, and I'm going to settle the contumely. I think that's the word.
Is that?
Front yard and backyard. And both Kenny and I believe that if you're on an ocean or a lake or even a river, the front yard is facing the water. And the rest of you idiots think that's the backyard. And I got a note from, he said, no need to mention my name. I have yet to miss any of your shows in podcast form, including the Weekly Scramble, as well as the Krabby Coffee Shop. Well, until Kenny decided to pull the plug on that one. Yeah. I've lived on a lake my entire life, and you and Kenny are 100% correct. The lakeside is the front yard. End of debate. My wife, who grew up on the east side of St. Paul in its glory days, vehemently disagrees with me. At least three of us are correct. Good luck. Huge fan from Rockville, Minnesota, and he wants to know when the GL flags will be available again. Do we know that?
We should have information on that shortly.
Sure. And then final word on this, because it's
a lot of feedback.
Yeah, but it's kind of silly to keep going with it because Kenny and I are right. There's no controversy.
Not much of a debate.
Front door problem.
But yep. Keith has a good point. You can buy lakefront property. And you can buy oceanfront property. You cannot buy lake and ocean back property.
No. Okay. Yeah. No. Technicality.
Have you ever seen a house advertised as lake back property?
That's true.
No, you can't.
That's true.
So no, there, but when you go to that house, you go through the front door, which does not face the lake.
Here's the deal. You can have a pool in the backyard, but the lake is always in the front yard.
I would agree with that.
Contumely.
Insolent or insulting language or treatment is the definition of that word.
Oh, then I had the wrong word.
I believe you had the wrong
word. You're such a pillock.
What?
What's a pillock?
Screw that word.
Damn it. I have so much to do today. Do you know what I don't know what Kelsey does for a living. I have an idea.
Works for the show.
Yeah, he does. But I think he's somehow in the real estate business, and he gets to see quite a bit of property around town.
Yes.
And he sent me a link of a group of news anchors, mostly European, all of whom reporting on fires started by EVs, whether it's a ship that went down or a fire. Mm. And he notes, I have noticed quite a few burned houses in newer developments around the metro where the fire started in the garage. Would love to know if this was the cause, EVs, you mean. How long, and this is a really tough question, or a great question, how long before insurance companies start voiding homeowner policies if you own an electric vehicle? Not to mention condo buildings and apartments with underground garages.
That is an excellent point.
Now, he has no empirical evidence that the fires he's seen or the post-fire damage is caused by EVs. He's merely wondering because it looks like the fire started in a garage.
It'll be the perfect opportunity for them to raise your rates.
Oh, yeah.
Well, and because, correct me if I'm wrong, I believe there are shop owners who will not work on EV vehicles for that very reason, right?
Correct.
I can't remember where Schoonover stands on that. I think he works on them, but they're finding it to be problematic quite often.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Yeah. Say, as I said, much to discuss here on this Valentine's Day, and let's lay down a rule now. You get to say it twice, all right?
Say it or play it.
No, you can't. You've already played it. You're done. Oh, you are done.
That's it. You got to warn me ahead of time.
All right, you get one more.
All right.
And that's it.
Play what? I don't even know what you're talking about.
Yeah, what is he talking about?
Here, Kenny, he's saying I can't play this.
Happy Valentine's Day.
He's saying I cannot play that anymore.
Was that?
I was letting Kenny know.
That the regular one? That one doesn't count.
Yeah, that one doesn't count.
Was that the regular one?
It sounds different, Chris. Is it sped up? Or
that was,
is that a fake voice?
No.
That's not the original.
Wait, let me hear it again.
Happy Valentine's Day.
See?
I'm not sure.
I reserve the right to say it whenever the hell I want, by the way, because I'm very serious on this show now. You know, the joke rookie is done. Rest in peace.
Nice shirt, pumpkin head.
Yeah, that's a really hell of a shirt.
You know what I did? I'll tell you what
you
I did this
like
morning.
Like a cartoon cowboy.
I went to a local inner city grade elementary school, and I read. They had a readathon. So
you don't even
know
how to read.
I read Barnyard Dance. And we should post a video of it.
Were you their example? This is how you turn out if you don't learn how to read.
The other gal that wrote her own book is an MIT grad that graduated with it. She's an astronaut. She's an astrophysicist.
Then we've got T1 and T2 here in the orange shirt.
I laugh at fart jokes on the radio.
Fathead. I got to back you up, though.
Farmer Fathead.
It was. I got to back you up. That was my favorite book to read to the boys.
What I do is I have the kids stomp their feet and clap their hands.
May I continue?
The Barnyard Dance.
Gary, the car guy in California, writes, "Hail the Flashlight King."
Hail you!
As a lifelong car guy who got his first car at age 13, I have always been in possession of at least one interesting car since then. Today, I called my go-to source of parts for my 1957 Thunderbird and ordered a variety of items. All was going well until I got to the last two parts on my list. The first was a transmission lock that prevents the car from being moved out of the parked position, thus preventing the car from moving to the drive or reverse position. For the first time ever in all the time I've worked with this company, the order taker responded, "That item is not available. It's on back order." The second item was a lock that prevents the removal of the fiberglass hardtop, which also is on back order. These two items are listed in the security section of the catalog. Given the current status of what used to be a great country, I suppose I shouldn't have been surprised. God help us, Gary, the car guy in California. Those are new wrinkles to me. I don't want a transmission lock, and I don't want a hardtop lock.
Why?
What does that mean?
Why don't you?
You mean like, do you mean?
Well, first of all, I don't need a hardtop lock. And secondly, I don't need a transmission lock because nobody could drive these cars anyway.
It's a great theft preventer. Yeah. The one thing he left out, a very important thing he left out, what color? That 57. Yeah, that 57.
Colors.
Wait, does a transmission lock, does that mean when you have to put the brake on to get it into shift?
It's probably some kind of manual lock that maybe the owner of the car has a key for. I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know.
But nobody would steal a transmission.
The legislature in its current infancy, 3 days in now?
Yeah. How much have they spent?
They've been discussing school resource officers. And there appears to be quite a bit of controversy. What the officers wish to have established is some clarity. And what the schools don't know how to do is provide that clarity.
Yeah, exactly.
They just don't know how to provide that clarity because I'm afraid on behalf of the school resource officers that no matter what so-called clarity is provided to them, if some kid cries about it to his mom when he gets home, the cop's going to be in trouble. So I don't know what clarity they can offer, but was this testimony, Chris, from this person?
I believe so.
And this is someone
named... This took place on Monday.
This is someone named Joyner Emmerich. And when we saw Joyner on the video screen, we thought, I wonder... If that's a he or a she.
We couldn't tell based on the video.
I'm trying to be charitable.
So that means, they, them, right?
Well, Joyner is formerly Sonia Emmerich, which might be neither here nor there. But Sonia is an at-large member of the Minneapolis Board of Education.
Correct.
I don't know what that means. Could you find out for me?
At-large member?
What does at-large member mean?
And, I'm sorry.
of the Minneapolis Board of Education.
On this House File 3489, they are listed as a Minneapolis School Board member. All right. I don't know if that makes any help with your clarification.
What does an at-large member mean? She's been, has been in office since January 3rd, 2023. And this person's term does not end until 2027. And you may listen to this and be as confused as I was.
Hi, my name is Joyner Emmerich. I am a school board director at large in the city of Minneapolis. I am also a disability self-advocate and the parent of two disabled children, one who has nonverbal autism and who is placed in the most restrictive education setting that we have in the state of Minnesota, which means that he is incredibly vulnerable to the use of restrictive procedures, and why I am so incredibly thankful that in 2015 we banned the use of prone restraint on students with disabilities in the state of Minnesota. We have determined that special education staff and teachers, will be able to know the difference between allowed reasonable use of force and illegal prone restraint. We also expect correctional officers working in prisons to know the difference between allowed reasonable use of force and illegal prone restraint. We expect that people providing intensive licensed services to adults with disabilities are able to know the difference between allowed reasonable use of force and illegal prone restraint. We expect them to know and act according to the law because people's lives are at stake. Given the existing expectations at the statutory level in Minnesota for professionals working with comparable populations doing similar work, it seems exceedingly reasonable that law enforcement officers working with students inside schools would be held to the same standards. All these professionals can and should be held accountable to know the difference between allowable use of force and potentially fatal restraint types and act accordingly in their service roles. Use of prone restraints is particularly dangerous for already marginalized groups, occurring with higher frequency and resulting in more dangerous outcomes. I am going to ask very clearly that our Minnesota legislature does not pass another law that gives passive permission for the state to kill Black and Indigenous children. Thank you.
Okay, this person, guy or gal, I was with this person until the last statement, which is just an outright lie. Has there been a death of a Black or an Indigenous person in this state, if not this country, at the hands of a school resource officer?
I do not believe.
No, I believe the only death occurred when one was stabbed. Was it Harding?
Right, and then a knife or a gun was just found in a St. Paul school situation.
And then we had the big brawl at St. Louis Park High School a couple of weeks ago.
I'm unaware of any school. I'm tired of this. You had me, whatever the hell you are. You got a tough road in life. You're dealing with some kids that need a great deal of attention. And you had me there until you're outright. You know, some people, what they do for a living is just polish their victimhood. They just, that's all they do for a living, and they're figuring out ways to get paid for that. And until you said that, Joyner, I was with you, but you are a complete fool. You're a liar, and you keep selling this narrative that doesn't exist. It just doesn't exist. And I also, now that you've let that cat out of the bag by revealing your true self as a liar, I also wonder, I wouldn't trust Joyner Emmerich to decide what constitutes reasonable force.
Right.
No matter what you came up with, now that you revealed yourself in your last line, lady or man, it wouldn't pass your muster. And you'd find a way to bitch about it.
And wouldn't the number one job of whether it's a board member or an at-large board member not be worrying about stuff like this, but the fact that, 60% of kids can't read at grade level?
These people don't care about that.
Oh, that's the stuff we don't worry about.
This is the failed academy in its most visible sense right here. Did you find out what at-large means?
Well, there's a lot going on here. Joyner Emmerich is listed as on the website for the Minneapolis schools as at large. There are three at large positions.
Yeah.
It doesn't specify, but then I went to the Sahan Journal, and she's listed as Sonia Emmerich.
Well, she's made the transition.
She went to South High School. She decided to run for school board based on her experience as a parent.
Mm-hmm.
There's some disabilities.
Right.
I don't know what she does for a living.
Well, here, Colin Beachy, Joyner Emmerich, and Carrie Jo Felder, and Lisa Skefty. Apparently are all at-large members, so that's a position on the Minneapolis School Board.
Yeah, they just don't have a district representation.
The answer. I have the answer. Go. What is a board member at-large? And it's actually, I think it's Matthew, because Matthew for years has wanted to be on a board of directors, right?
Yeah, yeah.
As mentioned above, a board member at large is a full board member who doesn't hold a defined position within the board of directors.
There we go.
Instead, they serve as a general board member without specific portfolio responsibilities.
Sounds like their second Stork board work.
They're separate from other members who typically don't have voting rights. So they do have voting rights, and they don't do jack.
Them is also listed on Ballotpedia, Emmerich, as nonpartisan.
Oh.
Well, that's
We don't know that.
Hold on, that gets...
Yeah.
We don't know that.
Thank you. And Emmerich, you had me. You had me on your side until your nonsense. And so I don't know what...
Could we all be Garage Logic Podcast at large?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I feel like I am sometimes.
But was she just speaking about kiddos with autism, or was she
marginalized groups? Yes, she was. Oh, that's okay. Who she was speaking on behalf.
All right. She was speaking on behalf of all the black kids and Indian kids who are killed every day in schools by school resource officers.
It's just I'm not
quite a bit of murder taking place.
One. Yeah, I don't recall any murders taking place.
Why is it?
You know,
we've never examined this before. It's probably where angels fear to tread. But why has politics attracted so many special interest groups?
Because, again, the people that are qualified do not want to deal with this type of stuff.
18,000 people voted for this joke.
Right. Not really. I bet how many of them actually realize the types of things that them stood for. Or the types of things that them were going to be bringing up office.
Let's see if that's in Ballotpedia here.
Joe made a great point. You know, he was on board right up until the lies she spouted at the very end.
Yeah.
You know, and I think she's doing is referring to George Floyd and other unfortunate incidents that have happened not in school.
Right. Please list below three key messages of your campaign. What are the main points you want voters to remember about your goals for your time in office? Okay, point number one, increase community voice, centering those most impacted by disparities. I will center BIPOC students and involve the community in decision-making. That can mean whatever you want, but it appealed to 18,000 people. Point two, interruption of the school to incarceration, institutionalized, and interruption of the school to jail pipeline through true inclusion. If our schools are not set up to teach the diversity of our students, there's a structural problem, not a result of student deficit. Well, first of all, that's meaning there's nothing to be taught about diversity. Diversity happens to be a fact.
Mm-hmm.
It just exists in life. And number three, equitable, effective literacy instruction for all students. I think the key word there would be equitable. Every student has limitless literacy learning potential. Yes, and when they don't achieve it, the likes of you drag out the word equitable, and then you pass them to the next grade anyway. What areas of public policy are you personally passionate about? I will center students. Okay. particularly those disproportionately harmed by disparities. I believe MPS needs adaptive, dynamic, and resilient schools and innovative leadership to remove educational barriers and provide accessible, evidence-based, and culturally sustaining instruction. All just made up words. My passion is honoring all students' strengths, needs, and identities as valuable and enriching characteristics of our learning communities. I'm stopping now. I can't take it. So this liar has a role in the decision making process of the Minneapolis Public Schools. I wouldn't send a kid to the Minneapolis Public Schools if you paid me $10 million.
I would.
Mike has an email here. The at-large, just like Kenny said, the at-large school board seat is one that is not representative of a part of a specific area of the district. The school board has 9 members, 6 for a specific area of the district, and 3 at-large members that essentially cover the entire school district.
So she's a floater.
Yes.
And it pops up wherever she's needed.
Right. So not to worry about, you know, reading levels and that type of thing.
No, I have something on that. I better do it while it's still germane to the topic.
While it's fresh.
I think diversity that's being taught is doing its part to drive a wedge between cultures. I think that's, I've been thinking this, about Chris, what you said earlier. Yeah. And when diversity is taught, all it does is harm. Because if you observe kids, if you throw a couple of kids from every kind of background you can imagine into a room with a bunch of toys, they're all going to play together. It's just the nature of human beings.
There's nothing to teach.
Yeah, yeah. So when you start teaching diversity, all you're doing is teaching division.
But Garage Logic Life is the dark side of the moon compared to that person's life. Get what I mean?
Yes.
The twain shall never meet. There's not a chance in hell that person could ever, this Emmerich could ever have sense talk to them. They're gone. They've made the commitment to be whatever they are. And they don't, the life we lead in GL is so different from that life that we can't identify it or identify with it, nor can she identify with us. There is a great, great divide there. We don't buy her BS, and she thinks we're full of BS.
Yeah.
Quite the combo.
So it's a dreadful combo.
Yeah,
but in a larger way, it's really what's happening in the country.
But she reminds me of the type that would comment on one of your columns in the newspaper without actually reading what you said, just based on her erroneous assumptions about who you are. Well, he's a climate denier. He's a Trumper. He's this. He's that. He's this. That. You know. And when in fact you're none of the above. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. That's who a lot of those people are to me.
Well, when you read what they put down in their ballotpedias and their resumes, there's a template for the words. You know, resilience, equity, equitable, diversity. You have to have all those in there. And because those are the people you're dealing with. You're not dealing with GLers.
Right.
And particularly when it comes to education. That academy is completely ruined. My garage door guy is not the guy. He's the whole family.
He's one of the guy?
He's one of the guy, but everybody in the family is one of the guy.
But they're on a team.
It's Precision Garage Door of the Twin Cities in western Wisconsin. They don't charge more for weekend visits. They're distinguishing themselves by more often than not having that part they need right in the truck. There's nothing worse when the guy's there and he says, I got to go back to the shop.
Come on.
You know, I'm rooting for Precision Garage Door to have the part in the truck that they need, a spring, a bolt, a roller, whatever. You need a door, they're your people. They'll come up with the door. You can design it or whatever, however they do it. I'm sure that any possibility is absolutely within their reach. They've hired great people. They continue to look for great people because they're busy, they're expanding. They finish the job on the day they say they will.
Boom.
And they text you so you know when they're on the way, and it gives you time to get out there and get settled in, you know. Get the right station on the radio and get the coffee
going. They got the parts, though? They got to go back in the shop and get parts?
No, they got the parts with it. It's a GLer-owned business at PrecisionDoorMN.com. That's PrecisionDoorMN.com. Or call and meet them to see if you're a good fit. Get it? put Precision Door's number in your contact. 612-263-6985. That's 612-263-6985.
Garage Logic sure does have a sweet way to treat your sweetheart. What a great week for it, too. A $25 gift certificate to the Grand Old Creamery on sale this week for half price. It's no secret. That's $25 of super premium ice cream for only $12.50. Get your favorite flavor from the 32 flavors or choose, they got a great store. You walk in that store. Well, by the way, certificates are in limited supply, so get them now and redeem them at the Grand Old Creamery in St. Paul or Cedar Avenue in Minneapolis. But they offer everything. Shakes, malts, cakes, pints, and quarts of ice cream to take home. And when you go into that store, you smell the wonderful homemade hand-rolled malted waffle cones that have got a nice little whopper in the box. It's a nice treat. It's a really sweet way to treat your sweetheart. So act now and get your $25 Grand Old Creamery voucher for only $12.50. Visit GarageLogic.com. Keyword deal to get yours while they last. Want to know where to go? GarageLogic.com. Keyword deal.
I don't have a mouse.
Wait, I got it.
This guy wears many hats, just not indoors.
Mine would have been way
Joe Souchere.
Give me yours, Matthew.
He's going to get her a sweetheart for Valentine's Day. What will it be? Here's Joe Souchere.
I continue to get email about Seafoam and how it changed their life.
That's probably what he's going to get her.
She asked me where the card was. I said, still in this store.
You know what? What did we tell you to do over Christmas with all your grandkids? Get them a can of Seafoam. Their parents will thank you for it. GLers love talking about Seafoam because it works. It's easy to use. These letters, they all start the same. I didn't believe you because you're dumb and I've never really liked you, but I tried it anyway. And Viola, it worked like a charm. Of course it worked like a charm. Whether you're cleaning up a carburetor and getting that thing running after it's been suffering for years, or if you're just using it on the regular to keep that engine happy, Seafoam really works. You know what it is? It's long-term cheap insurance. It's insurance that's proactive. It cleans and lubricates critical engine parts. Your engine always runs better, always lasts longer. Keeps that thing out of the shop, and you can get it anywhere, or like I like to say, anywheres. Auto parts stores, big retailers, small retailers, knack hardware, farm stores. I've even seen it in grocery stores. GLers, there's a reason why we lean on Seafoam every day. It works. A wonderful product in a world of bad gas. Our best friend, Seafoam.
Why is it that school board seats, almost without exception, are held by ideological activists?
Where is the 40-year-old, 43-year-old mom, dad, that on the PTA?
They show up once in a while.
They're working. They're taking care of their kids.
Aren't these meetings at night, though?
That's a great question. Let me see if I can put this in a sensible paragraph.
You can try to lay it down.
Timberwolves were at Portland last night. Bear with me.
Okay.
Wow.
I didn't get the attendance, but wherever they play in Portland, that looked full.
The Rose Garden.
The Rose Garden in Portland. Yeah. It looked like a great ticket sellout for the Trailblazers. The Super Bowl, the most watched television event in history. The moms and dads that you're referring to who are working instead of being on a school board. Let's see if I can bring this home.
There we go.
At some point, doesn't there have to be a great reckoning? In other words, how long can we just go on leading our lives while people are feverishly trying to destroy the country? At what point will we wake up and, you know what, you can't take that camping trip? Your job has just been eliminated. We don't have any more money. At what point do the Super Bowl is canceled? We can't afford it because three television networks are facing bankruptcy.
That's the million-dollar question.
How long before there's a great reckoning between the lives we lead and the life that this Emmerich character is trying to bring about? We can't keep going on these two divergent paths.
Okay. Crystal ball, what do you think? What will it take? Something major? Because right now they're chipping away at it.
Well, I don't have the crystal ball, but when it comes to education, for example, it has been, for the most part, successfully ruined. And the only people who hold school board seats are ruinous.
But those that participate get to make the rules.
For everybody else.
But they've turned it into their own arena.
Of course.
You would have not won had you remained living in South Minneapolis and decided to run for school board.
But Joe, right. The people right. that can and are paying attention have decided I'm moving my kids away from this.
Fine, and you can do that, but everything's gonna catch up to you sooner or later. You can't run a country like this. You can't continue to have a nation of children this poorly educated because they're not being educated.
You know,
they're being indoctrinated.
You know what else we're guilty of? And I'm no, the roommate and I were guilty of this, and I've heard other GLers say the same thing to you. We just told our kid, he's 24 now, so it doesn't matter, but we just told him, keep your head down, nod and agree if you have to, just get out of high school. Whenever he and I see you shaking your head, and you're absolutely right. That was the wrong thing to do. But we just wanted him to get out of high school without getting the wrath of his liberal teacher or whoever was, you know, spouting the BS at him. And I know other GLers have said that to their kids. They say it to them when they go to college. But keep your head down, get the grades, get out.
The answer to your bigger question, though, Joe, is we are seeing that. The teachers staged walkouts the last two Wednesdays at Minneapolis Public Schools. You're seeing that.
You're seeing it the closer you get to the country's tallest buildings.
Right, but we are seeing that. Their budgets are so far gone, and their enrollment is down to such a degree that none of this is going to work. None of this is sustainable.
Well, let's keep on that vein with Katrin Wigfall of the American Experiment is pointing out that 53% of third graders in the state of Minnesota cannot read at grade
53?
Level. 53? Yeah, 47.1% can read at third grade level, which would mean 53% can't. And what we're learning here, I did not know this, we have removed, or the legislature has removed from the education language, the word, here's what it used to read. We have a plan in place called World's Best Workforce, meaning we think we're raising the world's best workforce by our splendid education in Minnesota. The world's best workforce means striving to meet school readiness goals, have all third grade students achieve grade level literacy, close the academic achievement gap among all racial and ethnic groups of students and between students living in poverty and students not living in poverty, have all students attain career and college readiness before graduating from high school, and have all students graduate from high school. The words "have all third grade students achieve grade level literacy" is now eliminated from the language in the bill.
Wow. Hmm.
So we're not going to have all the students achieve third grade level literacy.
So we have the standards, but when we can't meet those standards, we'll just change the rules.
Well, that's what they're doing.
My God.
Wow.
The third grade reading literacy goal was included in the Great Workforce Plans for the last time during the 2022-23 school year. But now, because that wasn't achieved, the answer from the fools that we've elected is to just eliminate the expectation of third grade reading literacy. Well, and I maintain,
wow,
this is going to result in a great reckoning someday. This can't continue.
Unless,
I might as well go real deep, huh?
Sure. Yeah.
Unless the goal is to completely destroy the country and start over with a brand new constitution written by these people, which would be just dreadful. No one would want to live under it except them. Unless that's the goal.
And then when that didn't work, they'd still blame somebody else.
If the goal is to destroy the country, they're doing a hell of a job. And eliminate our constitution, literally tear it up and write a new one, and you can imagine what that would be like, then unless that's the goal, this doesn't work. This works if that's your goal. Because what else is your goal when you decide, oh, the hell with it, third graders don't need to read? What's your goal then?
So is it just gone? Has it moved to fourth grade? It seems like illiterate. I mean, you have to learn to read in third grade so you can pass fourth grade. And so on and so forth.
Well, right now, but see, here's the irony. Right now, they're just passing those kids through without them being able to read.
Yeah, without them having actual achievement.
Right, they're sending them right through.
And you said Minnesota. You did not say Minneapolis, right? This is a statewide thing.
Statewide.
Right.
Here's the final paragraph the final paragraph in Wig Falls' American Experiment piece. Given the importance of third grade literacy, the legislature passed a statewide overhaul of literacy education in 2023. Why remove it as a goal, particularly given the years-long challenge this has been for the state? Yeah, why are you removing it as a goal?
Huh.
Well, the answer is clear.
Because you don't care if they can read.
Because you don't care.
You don't care if they can read, but you do care if they've been correctly proselytized about equity and inclusion, which gives them the false sense of entitlement. It gives them, the kids, a false sense of achievement when no achievement's been evidenced.
It seems to go against the 2024 World's Best Workplace Legislative Report that I'm reading on the Minnesota website here. Introduction: the world's best workforce under Minnesota statutes, blah, 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 strives to, number one, meet school readiness goals. Number two, close the academic achievement gap among all racial and ethnic groups of students and between students living in poverty and students not living in poverty.
You know what? Sometimes that gap can't be closed.
What do you mean? Oh, it just gets to a point where we've lost the child? Is that what you're saying?
Well, I mean, some of the kids have such dreadful home situations that there's nobody there making sure they can read. There's nobody there sure they're read to.
Right.
Number three, have all students attain career and college readiness before graduating from high school, and have all students graduate from high school. How is lowering that reading gap attaining these goals? You're working against what you proposed here.
I might have mentioned this on the show before. Well, and if I haven't, I'm now going to mention it. I went to St. Luke's grade school.
Yep.
You could say that it's an inner city school.
Yeah.
And I was with the euphemistic group of inner city kids back in first, second, and third grade.
Okay.
I would love to go back and get the names of those kids and see what they're doing now. Because I was with, you know, the school was very diverse, but it was before you used that word, because we didn't need to. It was a fact. And everybody could read. Every kid, there was no, There was none of this nonsense.
Well, but yeah, you were required to read. First graders had to ABC, 1, 2, 3.
And it didn't make any difference if you were black, brown, yellow, green, red, or white. Here's your kid. Here's your paper. Let's read this tomorrow. Okay.
They mentioned the fifth goal to support third grade students in achieving grade level literacy. They mentioned that it was removed. They don't say why.
It's no longer a goal. It's too hard to achieve.
They don't say why. There's no explanation.
To answer your earlier question, you had 17-9 at the Portland Wolves game.
Okay, 17,900 people at an NBA game last night in Portland. Downtown Portland is in disrepair and falling apart with drug addiction and homelessness and Mysterian politicians. When is there going to be the great reckoning?
And I apologize. It's called the Moda Center. Their old home was the Rose Garden.
When is the reckoning? How long can we have one kind of life, going to basketball games and making sure your kids are well fed and going to school and achieving and having jobs and buying a car and going on a camping trip? How can that life continue to coexist with the likes of this Emmerich character, who's a member at large in the school board, who thinks cops are murdering black and indigenous kids? How long can this go on?
$1 million question.
Take $1 million break.
I will. But I want $1 million carpet cleaning.
Well, it's not going to cost you $1 million. It's going to be way less than that.
But that's what it's worth it when you're done.
It's the $1 million clean that doesn't cost $1 million. Does that make sense?
No.
Probably not. And I don't even care if it does, because I want you to listen to me tell you about Zero Res and how you can get your carpets cleaned 3 rooms. For $119, starting at $119, they're going to throw in a free hallway as well. And your air ducts, take $75 off when you get your air ducts Zero Res clean. This is the Love Your Rug special. And Zero Res has been with Garage Logic since they started advertising. I want to make sure that you are certain you have professionals coming into your home. 17,000 Google reviews, 4.9 rating. That's incredible. Now, here's the deal. You must tell them that you want these Zero Res Rookie Love Your Rug special. Call 952-ZEROREZ or go online to ZeroResMinnesota.com and let them know that the Rook sent you. Also, don't forget you commercial people out there. Call today for your commercial cleaning estimate. Protect your employees and customers by getting your business Zero Resified by the pros at Zero Res. 952-ZEROREZ, or spelled forwards or backwards, it's spelled the same. Zero Res.
Not a Garage Logic town council member. Here's what you're missing.
You know who you kind of remind me of, Joe, especially today? One of those snobs that lives over in Great Britain that just poo-poos everything American.
Wow. Really?
Yeah. Tay-Tay, football parties.
You not like happiness, Joe?
Matthews parties. An all-American football hero. Half of America's sweethearts.
Yeah.
I mean, they're literally the royalty of the United States of America, and you hate half of
I got to give her credit. When she slugged down that beer on the scoreboard, that was pretty cool.
She can drink a beer.
That was pretty cool.
Go behind the scenes of Garage Logic with unfiltered audio and video access, invites to exclusive events, an emailed newsletter from the mayor himself, and more by signing up at GarageLogic.com.
On Happy Valentine's Day.
Yeah, how about that?
It's the end of the world as we know it, and he feels fine. Joe Souchere.
On what would be our news segment, this portion of Garage Logic is brought to you by the fine folks at North American Banking Company, NABankCo.com.
Who would like to issue you a Happy Valentine's Day.
Happy Valentine's Day.
Thanks, Bilski.
Mike Bilski did request the Happy Valentine's Day.
So that doesn't count.
So that's just part of the sponsor.
Kenny, do you still have yesterday's Star Tribune in your den there?
No, it's tore up. What are you looking for?
I think it's not necessarily unrelated to my idea of there being a great reckoning. I think there's more to it than meets the eye with this The owner of the Somali Mall, apparently there's two of them. There's one on Lake Street and one somewhere else. Basim, he's a land developer.
Sabri, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I've got
He's banned the Jewish mayor from his businesses.
Yep.
Oh, wow. He's banned him because he's disapproving of Fry's veto of the city council's effort to weigh in on the Gaza situation. All right, so how far are we from behavior between ethnic groups being determined not by constitutional law and ordinances and rules and regulations, but by whether you pass the litmus test of my religion
or
not.
Yeah, your religious affiliation. Yeah.
I mean, here's the mayor of Minneapolis banned for, you know, you can make all the jokes you want about the fact he probably never went there anyway. Maybe he did. But he's banned, if I'm not mistaken, it's the old Sears building on Lake Street.
That's correct.
That's a big Somali.
It's 200 West.
Marketplace. Yep. You know, with different shops and eateries. And okay, so the owner of it was a Muslim, bans the Jew from entering it because the Muslim disapproved of the Jew's veto of an ordinance of a resolution that was written in favor of Palestine. Yes, you in the back.
Imagine, if you will, if this took place in St. Louis Park, and you had a Jewish shop owner that banned the Muslim mayor of St. Louis Park.
St. Louis Park would be on fire.
Could you even imagine what would be taking place right now?
Now, I don't know how Fry's supposed to handle this.
He should probably just ignore it.
Or even if he's going to handle it, but it's a seemingly minor league spat, right?
Yes.
But the ramifications of it and the long range view of it is absolutely earth shattering for the conventions of this country.
Yeah.
You essentially have a guy saying, "Well, I don't like your religion. You're not coming in my store."
We've got the location wrong. It's not in the old Sears building. It's over on the corner of Lake Street in Pillsbury, okay, which is west of 35W. Let me read some of the contents of the letter. Starts out, "I thought you were just a Jew."
This is a letter by Basim
Sabri
to Mayor Fry.
"I thought you were just a Jew, but appears you lean toward the other extreme. This letter is to let you know that I am breaking ties with you and I have no longer any trust or faith in you since many of your actions are contradictory to humanity and the Somalian immigrant communities. Therefore, please consider this a formal notice of trespass from the Carmel Malls located 2910 Pillsbury and 200 West Lake." He stated, according to the reporter, that this has nothing to do with Fry's identity as a Jew, but his actions
hold on.
He said the move promised by Fry's veto of the council resolution, an act he equated with failing to condemn what he sees as anti-Palestinian policies by Israel.
Mm-hmm.
So once again, they're making a big deal about what Israel is doing while completely ignoring what the Palestinians did, which was probably the most heinous war crimes we've witnessed in our generation, at least.
There isn't going to be a great awakening. I've given up on that. But there will be a great reckoning. Reckonings are inevitable. Awakenings are not. And this fits into my belief. This this divide now between a business developer in Minneapolis and the mayor of the city. Their divide isn't based on disagreement about tax increment financing. Their divide isn't based on any ordinances having to do with the kinds of businesses he runs. The divide is based on religious beliefs.
Yeah.
There's going to be a great reckoning.
Well, okay, with the reckoning.
I mean, you want, how long before Minneapolis has Sharia law?
Right.
God, you know.
Sabree has served federal prison time for bribing a city councilman.
Right.
Yeah, I was going to bring that up.
I'm just getting the feedback. A Palestinian immigrant. He said Carmel got off the ground because he felt an affinity with two Somali immigrants he happened to meet 25 years ago. Okay, that's it.
I'm sorry, GLers, but I can continue this. I can continue going down this road. Yeah, real briefly.
I was just going to say, the reckoning, wouldn't that be some of the things we're already starting to see? And I know I've already mentioned this, but the fight inside the St. Louis Park, isn't that part of what you're talking about? Where, remember how that was covered? Two marginalized groups.
I haven't identified the characteristics of the reckoning.
Oh,
but there's going. Well, here, let me keep going, and you see what I'm driving at. Boston City Council member Julia Mejia told WBTS Boston late last week that suburban residents need to step up and begin offering their homes as migrant shelters.
Oh, sure.
She's an at-large city councilor, just like this other character is an at-large school board member.
Join
the
her.
At-large city councilor insisted that the suburbs have more resources than the city, and she thinks it's time for suburbanites to chip in on the border crisis. Dedham, Wellesley, Brookline, cities and towns that have so much more resources than the city of Boston. People who actually have more financial support, Mejia told the station. We need to do everything in our power to make sure that we are setting them up for success or whatever success looks like. I think everybody should be opening their doors because this is a shared responsibility. She's not the first member of the Democratic establishment in Massachusetts to demand that residents offer up their homes to shelter illegal border crossers who have flooded the Bay States thanks to President Joe Biden's constantly worsening border crisis.
Curious. Are you done?
No. Massachusetts Democrat Governor Maura Healey has also floated the idea of residents housing migrants. In August, Healey declared a state of emergency due to the influx of illegal aliens, saying in her declaration, there are currently nearly 5,600 families or more than 20,000 individuals in state shelter, including children and pregnant women. Days afterwards, Lieutenant Governor Kim Driscoll, a Democrat, pleaded for homeowners to free up some room, saying, most importantly, if you have an extra room or suite in your home, please consider hosting a family. Housing and shelter is our most pressing need, and we want you to become a sponsor family.
Well, it starts with them, so they can free up some room. And then second, did they make any mention of all the citizens of Massachusetts and Boston that were born there, raised there, that are currently homeless due to economic issues, not because of drugs, not because of alcohol, just because they couldn't keep up, and now they're living in a 2007 Silverado with 400,000 miles on it, parked behind some warehouse in downtown Boston. Any mention of those people?
No, and of course, the feedback Bihea is getting is, well, how many people are you welcoming into your home? And of course,
that's number one.
She hasn't said that.
There was a news story that I saw over the weekend, and I'd like to play you a portion of this clip of a woman who did welcome a Haitian family into her downtown Boston condo.
All right.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
All right. This is an NBC Boston News report. Here is the portion I'd like to play.
She says her daughter is very happy. Yeah. When she wakes up in the morning, she says, hi, Lisa, and everyone starts the day smiling.
It's a delight, and it's really fun having them. What I realized is there's so much prejudice against refugees, mostly because people don't know them.
Lisa says she feels like she has her own personal chef, as Wildande loves cooking.
¿Te gusta la ocupación?
Sí. Sí.
In fact, her goal is to open up her own restaurant.
She's got her own... I'm on the lookout for a homeless Italian. Any homeless Italians in Douglas County?
Right.
Come on over to the estate.
The Olsen Estate.
Yeah.
What if you landed this guy as a house guest? That one of the illegals who was involved in the mob beating of New York policeman in Times Square last week. Well, he was let out immediately, but he's been arrested again for participating in a coordinated robbery of the Macy's store in Queens. Darwin Andre Gomez Izquiel, 19, was arrested Tuesday night and charged with robbery and petit larceny. He's one of the four people who entered the Queens Center, Center Mall, and acting in concert with others to steal clothes they tried to hide in bags. When a 27-year-old security guard confronted the group, they struggled, and one of the suspects punched the security guard in the face.
Oh, I get it. So the thieves can punch and hit, but the security guard can't touch.
Gomez Izquiel was previously charged with second-degree assault on a police officer and obstructing governmental administration for the caught-on-camera Times Square attack at the end of January, and he was immediately released for that. And now I think he might have been the one who, when he got out, he gave the finger to everybody looking at him.
Yes, that's him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Classy individual. I wonder if he can read.
In fact, he was released so quickly, he barely had time to stop for fingerprints, that's if I'm not mistaken.
I wonder if he can. Can he cook? Can he fold towels, do the laundry, shovel a little snow?
See what you got.
There's a free house for waiting for him.
But how long? You made this a prediction a while back, Joe, about housing illegals. How long until that's going to happen here?
Well, as I say, there's a great reckoning coming. Now let's turn to California.
All are welcome here.
This is all part and parcel to what we're discussing. And I guess what we really learned today is that Garage Logic really is a different place than what we're describing. We have a legislator in California named Barbara Lee.
Okay.
And she's advocating a $50 an hour minimum wage.
$50 an hour?
Now,
wow.
I must say, I have said previously, why do you people always stop at $12 or $15? Why don't you just demand, well, it's come true. That's $104,000 a year.
Nice.
To flip burgers would be $104,000 a year.
But they're willing for a 50.
Oh, go ahead.
Well, go ahead.
No, I thought you were done. Sorry.
What do you have?
I have her audio.
I'd like to hear it.
Okay.
$5 an hour. Can you explain how that would be economically sustainable for small businesses? You have 60 seconds.
First, let me say I owned and ran a small business for 11 years. I created hundreds of jobs. Benefits, retirement benefits, also health care benefits. I know what worker productivity means, and that means that you have to make sure that your employees are taken care of and have a living wage. In the Bay Area, I believe it was the United Way, came out with a report that very recently, $127,000 for a family of four is just barely enough to get by. Another survey very recently, $104,000 for a family of one, barely enough to get by, low income because of the affordability crisis. And so just do the math. Just do the math. Of course, we have national minimum wages that we need to raise to a living wage. You're talking about $20, $25, fine. But I have got to be focused on what California needs and what the affordability factor is. Jeez. When we calculate this way.
Okay, two things. One, she didn't answer the question. Yeah. What did she pay her workers? It wasn't $50 an hour. And two, what doesn't occur to her is the idea that you need to work. What occurs to her is that there's oppressors and oppressed. and the oppressed must be paid, in this case, $50 an hour. Okay, well, the Great Reckoning will take care of this, because if you're going to pay a minimum wage of $50 an hour, there won't be any products or services available.
That you can afford.
You're going to have the kind of country that will inevitably follow the complete destruction of this country. It won't be this country.
Kenny's $9 bottle of NyQuil is going to be $41.
You know, no, NyQuil might not exist. You might not be able to get NyQuil.
True. Yeah.
In the new country, goods and services are not going to be regarded as they are now. They're not going to be the products of capitalism. They're not going to be the products of a free market. They're not going to be the products of supply and demand.
We need to watch this race to see.
There's going to be government-issued NyQuil.
Sure. But we need to watch this race because obviously she's saying this purely to get elected, right?
Well,
That's the main reason why she's saying this. So she's basically vote-buying.
Right.
Yeah.
And it'd be interesting to see if she wins, that'd be hysterical.
I think her biggest challenge in coming up with that is falling on a dollar figure. I mean, should it be 20? Should it be 100? Should it, you know what? Let's just... I'm going to say $50, Steve.
I'm going to say $2.
Well, again, years ago, I said, why are you fooling around? Why don't you make it $50 an hour?
Yeah.
And I was kidding. And now it's coming true. No,
Reavers is right. Chris is right on this one.
What did he say?
It's just this is for votes. She wants the minimum. It's the minimum wage crowd.
Yep. Yeah.
And nobody with a half a brain thinks that this will actually happen.
You know what really stinks about this? That kind of campaigning, it works.
But I didn't even, Kenny just said, nobody thinks this will happen.
Yeah.
I never thought the school board would have a they-them on it that says cops murder black and indigenous children. Yeah. I never thought that would happen. I never thought we'd have a legislator who said, why don't you people take in illegal migrants? I never thought we'd have a border that was uncontrolled. I never thought we'd have a government this big. I never thought I'd see citizens so small. I'd never thought I'd see a governor in Minnesota who blew an $18 billion surplus or approved of it. I never thought I'd see any of what we're talking about, ever.
Ever. Hans has a great point. That woman advocating for $50 an hour said that she ran a business.
Right.
Notice she's not still running the business. That's a great point.
Well, she jumped to the third rail, it sounds like.
She wanted to go make money.
Yeah, she got on the third rail. And then
what?
Whee! Now I got one for you. Boy, everything is falling into line today in terms of life in GL versus life outside GL. I'm appreciative for Anthony. Does he tell me not to use his name?
Probably.
This comes out of Rochester, Minnesota. No, I can use his name, Anthony Rosvold, who writes, this is ridiculous. Dakota's middle school mascot is being canceled. They can no longer use it. And I'm going to have you people in a moment guess what the mascot is that's being not allowed.
Okay.
But I'll read you this story from the Rochester Post Bulletin. In the wake of new state legislation regarding the use of American Indian imagery, Dakota Middle School has announced it will have to change. It will have to change its mascot less than 2 years after it was first selected. The school's administration informed families of the situation in a statement, which explained the legislation ends the use of native mascots in Minnesota public schools unless a school gets exemption from Minnesota's 11 federally recognized tribal nations and the Tribal Nations Education Committee. Don't anybody look this up. I want to surprise you, Kenny.
He wants it fresh.
I have to admit, I looked it up minutes ago.
You're a good scout. Though it may be disappointing to change our... Though it may be disappointing to change our mascot, RPS desire, Rochester Public Schools, is to continue to honor the sacred land and traditions of the Dakota people and all indigenous people, the statement from the school said, and we look forward to doing so with our new mascot. Rochester Public Schools submitted a request for exemption but was denied by multiple tribes, according to the statement from the school. The Post Bulletin has submitted a request for correspondence between the district and the tribal nations regarding the rejected exemption proposal. Request. That was the first newspaper I applied to, the Rochester Post Bulletin, and they said, we'll call you. Don't call us.
Not even an interview?
Yeah, you're nope. Thumbing their nose at them now.
Dakota Middle School was built with funding from the 2019 voter-approved levy along with several other construction and renovation projects around the district. The name of the school was approved in September 2021. The selection of the school name started with student nominations that met the criteria of reflecting the district's values, representing diversity within the community, and instilling inspiration within students. From there, the broader community was allowed to vote on the favorites. The selection of the mascot was a more closed process and was limited to the district's American Indian Parent Advisory Committee. The school's mascot was revealed. I haven't told you what the mascot is yet.
No, yeah, and my brain is working very hard, eliminating obvious.
The school, maybe you should think obvious. The school's mascot was revealed in June of 2022, so almost 2 years ago. We just wanted to keep it with the Native American students just to keep the cultural significance as a huge importance. The school's American Indian liaison, Amelia Cordell, said at the time. The selection of the name Dakota Middle School was seen as a great first step in advancing American Indian visibility. At the same time, local members of the American Indian community said it was important to avoid using the name as a mere token gesture. After it was selected, the district worked with American Indian artist Sam Zimmerman to create the school's mascot. At the time the school's mascot was selected, district leaders spoke of the need to accompany it with education about American Indian culture. Sometimes, especially with Native American cultures, there has been significant misuse of mascots. Then Rochester Public Schools Coordinator of Family and Community Engagement, wow, Julie Ruzick, said at the time, some real education is the next step. And here is the full text of the message from Principal Levi Lundack.
Okay.
Dear Dakota Middle School staff, parents, caregivers, and students, when Dakota Middle School was built in 2020, Rochester Public Schools was honored to have a school named after the Dakota people whose ancestral land we inhabit. We worked with the American Indian Parent Advisory Committee and Native families and students to select blank. That's the mascot. I'm going to grill you in a moment. The RPS, American Indian Education Department, worked with a Native artist to create the depiction we proudly call our mascot. This last legislative session, the Minnesota legislature passed a law to end the use of Native mascots in public schools. Schools had the opportunity to submit in writing for exemption to all 11 federally recognized tribes in Minnesota and the Tribal Nations Education Committee, which district administration did for Dakota Middle School's mascot. We recently heard back from multiple tribes denying our exemption request, so we must change the Dakota mascot. RPS, American Indian Education Department, will again sponsor with the Indian groups and the Dakota Middle School community to begin the process of determining a new mascot. Our goal is to create a mascot that will be accepted. We will work with other natives, artists, and share the new mascot with Dakota Middle. Why do I keep saying medical?
Because you're thinking of Rochester and medical.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah. Dakota Middle School community before the start of the next school year. Though it may be disappointing to change our mascot, the desire is to continue to honor the sacred land and traditions of the Dakota people and all indigenous people, and we look forward to doing so with our new mascot. What is the mascot they must now abandon? Now, Kenny knows, so I'm asking
Indians Reavers. Indians is out.
I read the story.
Okay, then it's just up to you, Rook.
Indians is out.
Yeah.
Warriors is obviously not. Chiefs is not.
Right. It's not none of that.
You'll never guess because it's so ludicrous. It's you wouldn't be able to come up with something this ludicrous. And I can't believe this is making me as mad as it is, Joe. Mm-hmm.
In a moment, Kenny, I'll tell you why it's making you mad.
A person, place, or thing.
It's a thing. Matthew, usually I'm on the side of the natives. Over 50% of the time I'm on their side. Outrageous.
I just eliminated the only three reasons you would
Matt,
deny.
The mascot they have to get rid of is the bison.
WTF! The bison?
Mm-hmm.
It's offensive.
Why do they even have to apply? Bison are not strictly Native American.
I don't know how it came to be that Native Americans get to own bison.
Right.
Who's the person that... Hey, I got an idea.
By that reasoning, and Anthony notes this in his email, by that reasoning, what about eagles and deer?
Well, mountain lion, beaver.
Well, what about then any animal that
elk,
was native to America?
You know what? You're right. Eagles is next because Native Americans are the only ones that
they use feathers.
Right, that have eagle feathers. You cannot have an eagle feather.
Walleye.
Yeah.
Northern.
Water.
Absolutely. Grass.
Sky. Air.
The prairie. It's just
trees,
so absurd.
Mountains.
Everything about this story is so absurd. And the fact that this school said, oh boy, we got a whopper on our hands here.
Nothing in, no, there can be never a depiction of a triangle in any math
How
class.
How did one person?
That could be seen as a tent.
Wait,
the great
up.
Irony, though, here, guys, is they are trying to honor the natives. They named the school Dakota. They're trying to honor, and they asked for permission. They got it, and now permission's been denied.
A great reckoning is coming.
But back up. Who did they apply? Who told them they couldn't do it?
I can read that to you.
I know the tribe said no, but this is still.
Remember
not.
What I said during the break? State-run schools. Mm-hmm. That's what this is. This is the government running our education.
The bison, the bleeping bison.
Well, Kenny, we didn't say that on the show. We should say it. Kenny's theory is that the state will run the schools. All schools, you won't have individual districts.
That'll be a good idea.
The state will run the schools, and then they can just teach what the state wants you to learn.
Much like they do in North Korea and China.
Right. Which used to be really ridiculous, far-fetched, conspiratorial, and absurd. It no longer is.
Nope. It's no longer black helicopter. It's just helicopter.
So who denied
this? It's landed in your front yard.
Right.
Who denied this?
Yeah, I mean, whose ruling are they going with? That principal?
You read it. It's the state of Minnesota.
The selection of the name. Well, that's the name. The selection of the mascot was a closed process and limited to the district's American Indian Parent Advisory Committee. The school's mascot was revealed in June 2022. In other words, it passed the muster of the school's American Indian Parent Advisory Committee.
Okay.
They said, cool, bison. We're going to have a bison.
Run with
it. Guys, it's Minnesota law that restricts Native mascots. So it's Minnesota.
But okay. That's fine.
In other words, the legislature was able to make themselves convince that an animal... a bison was an Indian mascot.
Okay, then I want to see the list.
What
is their list?
Do you think that's the case? Do you think... I'm going to try to give them the benefit of the doubt. Maybe they were thinking along the lines of Chief Wahoo, the Cleveland guy.
But it's not analogous because this isn't Chief Wahoo-like.
I know, but do you think that's what their assumption was when they passed the law? Do you think...
Oh, maybe, sure.
They figured that bison would fall into this or not?
I don't think they would have thought bison would have fallen into this.
Yeah.
I'm trying to see who
Tatanka
denied it.
Yeah.
The tribal schools had the opportunity to submit in writing a request for exemption to all 11 federally recognized tribes in Minnesota and the Tribal Nations Education Committee, which district administration did for the Dakota Middle School's bison. We heard back from multiple tribes denying our request, so we must change the mascot.
Kenny, I'm with you.
So of the 11 tribes, a certain number of them said, no, you may not use the buffalo.
But why even got to that point, I can't believe it.
What are they going to do in Buffalo, Minnesota?
Or Buffalo, New York?
Or Buffalo Gap? Or Buffalo Grove?
Buffalo Wings.
Ooh.
I looked up how many schools have the bison mascot.
Well, it's got to be a million.
Yeah, it's across the United States.
I bet there's many in Montana.
How many?
Yeah.
When we do get state-run schools nationwide, which will be great, when are we just going to get rid of mascots entirely?
That'll be part of the great reckoning.
Yep. No, but you're just team. You have the color green.
You're team three.
My mind is not keeping up with me. What do we call it when they change? They change the meaning of a word that now we're just accepting that bison is Native American.
Gaslighting?
Right. Is it gaslighting?
It's foghornable. They've changed.
Well, it's the same thing that they've done, newspapers have done with global warming and climate change. It's just assumed. It's no longer even questioned.
Or like the old phrases. Oh, I can't remember. The peanuts. What's the peanuts one? The peanut gallery.
Yeah.
That's the same thing. And now we have to think that is some reason racist or having to do with...
Because dark people, look for this, not skin color. Ideologically, dark people get up in the morning and what they do for a living is polish their victimhood.
Power washing, Matthew.
That's power washing.
Power washing.
Grazie.
Take a break and I'll come back with a brief ray of hope.
How about I hear from Rookie and our friends at Minnesota Masonic Charities?
I love the Minnesota Masonic Charities, and I love going to their website, mnmasoniccharities.com, and looking up scholarships. Now, I've done it before, so I already know what I'm getting into. But if you haven't done that, go to mnmasoniccharities.org and look at the scholarship pin. Minnesota Masonic Charities proudly represents the charitable interests of Minnesota Masonry and encourages the engagement of Masonic lodges and Order of the Eastern Star chapters with their communities across the state. And listed right there on the site are ways in which MMC supports the efforts of Minnesota brothers and sisters, and there's links to important documentation. So you can click there to see some of the 2023 scholarship recipients. But more importantly, you can, which they, by the way, $13 million in scholarships to the date. But right now, you can click on the Apply Now button, and you have until February 29th. That's the deadline. There are so many great scholarships. The 2024 Selfless Scholar Award winner, that's going to be announced this year. Do yourself a favor or someone you want to nominate. Check out mnmasoniccharities.org. Click on scholarships and inform yourself.
Happy Valentine's Day.
Yeah. Didn't even hear that, did you? Thanks, Johnny.
I lost my thing.
Here's a guy that lost his thing.
Joe, I think I got her back.
On Valentine's Day.
Happy Valentine's Day.
I lost it.
Here, I got it right here.
Fool can't find his button. I lost
it. Happy Valentine's Day.
That's the right button. I was pretty good today.
You were very good.
Yeah, I was, because I forgot, I think.
I know you did.
Yeah. What day are you talking about?
Happy Valentine's Day.
Happy Valentine's Day.
You want me to leave?
No, there was a Saint Valentine.
Yeah.
Was there a saint?
So it probably doesn't go back to Greek mythology. There was a Saint Valentine.
Okay.
Well, there also was a Happy Valentine.
There was a Bobby Valentine. He was a manager.
I promised you a brief ray of hope, and sadly, I must also conclude that all rays of hope are going to be brief.
Here's today's ray of hope.
Given the weight of the impending reckoning.
That's
but this
one.
Is out of Lincoln, Nebraska. Getting rid of diversity, equity, and inclusion programs in the University of Nebraska system, state colleges, and community colleges is at the center of Legislative Bill 1330, introduced by Senator Dave Merman of Glenville. It states that unless required by federal law, probably will be, public universities and community colleges cannot promote theories of gender identity, anti-racism, social justice, or racial and sexual privilege, among others.
Wow.
Public money would not be allowed to be spent on DEI programs. DEI-related offices on these campuses would have to close, and it would keep schools from requiring employees to participate in DEI activity. Action could be taken if they did. Hmm. DEI has been politicized, but it's not political, said Angela Cooper of Mind Power Strategic. I don't know what that is. Who's this now? Okay. By 2030, Generation Z will make up the majority of the U.S. workforce. Data from the Pew Research Center shows 48% of them are people of color. For them, efforts of diversity, equity, and inclusion are expected, said Abby Swatsworth, executive director of Out Nebraska. Swatsworth said business and nonprofit leaders worry this legislation would only push young adults toward brain drains. Brain drain. Graduates leaving Nebraska for work. I'm concerned that this sort of legislation sends the message that Nebraska is not welcoming and that we're not open for business, said Swatsworth. Why don't you sit down and shut up for a while? Both Swatsworth and Cooper say DEI was never meant to be divisive. They hope legislators will see it's to make Nebraska better. I think Nebraskans across the board want to be good neighbors, and being a good neighbor actually means understanding and being sympathetic toward everyone in your community, said Swatsworth. But that's human nature, and that doesn't need a government-forced right. mandate.
That's natural. By the way, St. Valentine, born in 226, died martyred in 269 at the age of 42 or 43. So happy
Valentine. Where was he from?
Toledo. Termi, Italy.
Yeah, I knew he was a WOP. Yeah.
You know who was
Can
right?
You say WOP?
I don't know. Oh.
Patrick was right. You know what the N in Nebraska stands for?
What?
Knowledge.
Hey, now.
They were smart. They wised up. Hey, buddy. You know, we said that to a guy at the golf show years ago. Mm-hmm. Guy was sitting in the front row with the white Nebraska hat on. Hey, buddy. You know what the N in your hat Nebraska stands for? Yeah. Knowledge.
Knowledge.
God, that was so funny.
Now, Renewal by Anderson brings us this day in history.
That's
don't
right. They?
They
certainly do.
Renewal by Anderson, for you, that's. What other place is there for windows, doors?
There isn't one.
I mean, in fact, don't they own the market? They're
pretty
the
much,
best.
Pretty much.
And it's not just windows. It's patio doors, entry doors. Renewal by Anderson has the best products, the best service. And, man, do they treat their employees right, huh? Every year, I love that story when Renewal by Anderson, they must get everybody in the gym if they have a gym.
Sure they do.
And they sit around and cut everybody a check for the profit sharing.
Kind of like the old Garage Logic Christmas party, huh?
Yep.
Boy, a long time ago.
Yeah, way
long
back. Yeah,
time ago. Well, it's time for you to enjoy year-round comfort. Get rid of the drafts. Renewal by Anderson crafts acclaim windows from the highest quality components to seal out the elements and keep your home comfortable in all season. This is a way to upgrade your home that's going to improve your everyday life. Anderson Engineering and Innovation is present in every component, providing acclaim windows with their renowned beauty, durability, and performance. And our own purveyors of this day in history, the Traveling Lymans, had Anderson windows in their abodes before they left to travel the world.
Oh, wow.
So get a hold of Anderson, please. You can find more at anderson.com/garagelogic or call Renewal by Anderson at 651-705-6931. This is Renewal by Anderson, the best windows in the business, and only because they come to us all the way from Lake Las Vegas, Nevada, from the Traveling Lymans. It was on this day.
Happy Valentine's Day.
Yeah, nice touch.
This day.
Valentine's Day. December.
What's the date?
February 14th, bruh.
William Watts Falwell was born in Romulus, New York. An educator and historian, Falwell served as the University of Minnesota's first president, helped found the Minneapolis Institute of Arts, and authored a four-volume history of Minnesota.
He died in
1929. Well, you're getting another one.
How many days was he born?
A couple times. Oh. Wait a minute, what day is this? Yeah, Feb 14th.
Oh, wait, today is Valentine's.
Happy Valentine's Day.
Happy Valentine's Day.
Fool. On this day.
2/14.
In 1850, this impresses me, the Fort Snelling Post Band traveled to Stillwater to play for a Valentine's Day dance. How long did that take them?
Probably a week and a half.
Probably left a week ago. That was a long way back in the day.
Did they march or did they hop on the river?
He ain't got no freeway.
Maybe they went down the Mississippi down to where St. Croix
came. On February 14th, 1850, I bet they didn't go down the river.
They crossed the river
twice. It was probably ice blocked.
Yes, and how is the band from Fort Snelling arrived today? Yes. By carriage? No, I took my Dodge minivan.
On this day. 2/14. In 1852, Mankato, named for a variation of Makatoo, the Dakota word for the Blue Earth River, was founded. You might know it as Mankato.
I certainly do.
Wow. Yeah,
Mankato.
Anybody
was founded.
From Mankato?
Six of my best college years were spent there.
Ooh, okay, Blatarski.
Jeez.
You probably had the same GPA.
And I believe it, too.
Yeah.
Except Blatarski became a U.S. senator.
Yes.
That's true.
Which was perfectly in keeping with the characters in that movie.
Don't interrupt him. He's rolling.
One of them became an obstetrician.
Yes.
OBGYN.
That was the slick guy.
That was...
the guy who said, I'm not going to let you ruin
Otter.
America. Otter. Didn't he become an obstetrician?
I believe so.
It was delightful, wasn't it?
It really was.
It is snowing in southwest Minnesota.
Yeah, well, wow. Is it snowing in the Twin Cities?
Down nope. Windham Way. Laverne, who's getting the
Morton,
getting the Clipper?
Redwood Falls.
I'm out.
North of 90.
Close to Mankato.
Well, we haven't had, I told you, we're going to pay for what we've been enjoying.
Oh, I know.
We're going to pay for it.
Hey, Garage Logic is available on the PodMN app or wherever you get your podcasts. The PodMN app is here to help Minnesotans discover all the great audio entertainment that Minnesota has to offer, including Garage Logic. From news and politics to sports entertainment, download the PodMN app in the Apple App Store or via Google Play. Wednesday, cha.
Oh, yeah, cha.